Hello and welcome.
I'm so glad you've pressed play today because we are diving into one of the most fascinating topics in all of GCSE biology, inheritance, variation, and evolution. This is the topic that answers the big questions. Why do you look a bit like your mom and a bit like your dad? Why are no two people exactly alike, unless they're identical twins? And how on earth did life on Earth end up so incredibly diverse? By the end of this podcast, you're going to feel genuinely confident about DNA, meiosis, Punnett squares, natural selection, and all the human interventions like selective breeding and genetic engineering. These topics come up every single year in the exam, so getting them nailed is going to be worth serious marks. Let's get into it. Let's start with the building blocks. DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, is the molecule that carries all the genetic instructions for building and running a living organism. It's a polymer, which means it's made of repeating units called nucleotides. Each nucleotide has three parts: a deoxyribose sugar, a phosphate group, and one of four nitrogenous bases: adenine, thymine, cytosine, or guanine. The bases pair up in a very specific way. Adenine always pairs with thymine, and cytosine always pairs with guanine. This is called complementary base pairing, and it's absolutely crucial. Examiners love asking about it. The DNA molecule is twisted into a double helix. Imagine a ladder that's been twisted along its length. The two sugar phosphate backbones form the sides of the ladder, and the base pairs form the rungs. The entire genetic material of an organism, every single piece of DNA in every chromosome, is called the genome. Humans have around 3 billion base pairs in their genome, and it's all packed into the nucleus of almost every cell in your body. Now, a gene is a specific sequence of bases on a DNA molecule that codes for a particular protein. Different versions of the same gene are called alleles. For example, the gene for eye color might have an allele for brown eyes and an allele for blue eyes. The combination of alleles you have is your genotype. The physical characteristic that actually shows up, like having brown eyes, is your phenotype. Here's a key distinction that trips up so many candidates. If you have two identical alleles for a gene, say two copies of the dominant allele, you're homozygous. If you have two different alleles, one dominant and one recessive, you're heterozygous. Dominant alleles are expressed even when only one copy is present. Recessive alleles are only expressed when two copies are present, when you're homozygous recessive. Now let's talk about reproduction, because this is where variation comes from. There are two types: sexual reproduction and asexual reproduction. Sexual reproduction involves the fusion of two gametes, a sperm and an egg, each carrying half the genetic information. This mixing of genetic material produces offspring that are genetically unique. Every child is different from their parents and from their siblings, which is why sexual reproduction is so important for generating variation in a population. Asexual reproduction, on the other hand, involves just one parent. The offspring are produced by mitosis and are genetically identical to the parent. They're clones. Bacteria, some plants, and some animals reproduce asexually. The advantage is that it's fast and efficient. You don't need to find a mate. But the disadvantage is that there's no genetic variation, which can be a problem if the environment changes. So how are gametes produced? This is where meiosis comes in, and this is a topic where candidates lose marks every year by confusing it with mitosis. Meiosis is a special type of cell division that happens in the reproductive organs, the testes and ovaries. It starts with a diploid cell, a cell with the full set of 46 chromosomes in humans, arranged as 23 pairs. Meiosis divides this cell not once, but twice, producing four daughter cells, each with only 23 chromosomes, half the original number. These are haploid cells. They're also all genetically different from each other because of a process called crossing over, where chromosomes swap sections during the first division. This is a major source of genetic variation. The key contrast? Mitosis produces two genetically identical diploid cells. It's used for growth and repair. Meiosis produces four genetically unique haploid cells. It's used for sexual reproduction. Get that distinction absolutely clear in your mind. Now let's move to Punnett squares, which are your best friend for predicting the outcomes of genetic crosses. Let's work through a classic example. Imagine we're crossing two heterozygous parents for a single gene. Let's say tongue rolling. The dominant allele R allows tongue rolling, the recessive allele R does not. Both parents have the genotype R. Draw your Punnett square, put R and R along the top for parent 1, and R&R down the side for parent 2. Fill in the four boxes. RR, RR, rear, EchoR, AirR. The predictive ratio of genotypes is 1 RR to 2, RR to 1R. In terms of phenotype, 3 out of 4 offspring will be tongue rollers because RR and RR both express the dominant allele, and 1 out of 4 will be non-rollers. That's a 3 to 1 phenotypic ratio. Examiners will ask you to draw these squares, predict ratios, and calculate probabilities. The probability of a non-roller is 1 in 4, or 25%. Now let's zoom out from individuals to populations. Why do populations change over time? The answer is natural selection. Here's how it works. Within any population, there is genetic variation. Individuals differ from one another because of mutations in sexual reproduction. Some of these variations give certain individuals an advantage in their environment. They might be better camouflaged, more resistant to disease, or faster at finding food. These individuals are more likely to survive, reproduce, and pass on their advantageous alleles to their offspring. Over many generations, the frequency of these beneficial alleles increases in the population. This is evolution by natural selection, and it was first described by Charles Darwin. Mutations are changes to the DNA sequence. Most mutations have no effect, some are harmful, and occasionally one is beneficial. Beneficial mutations are the raw material for natural selection. Antibiotic resistance in bacteria is a perfect real-world example. A random mutation gives one bacterium resistance to an antibiotic. That bacterium survives and reproduces, while others die. And the resistant allele spreads through the population rapidly. Finally, let's touch on human interventions. Selective breeding, also called artificial selection, is when humans choose which organisms breed based on desirable characteristics. We've been doing this for thousands of years, breeding cows for higher milk yield, wheat for disease resistance, dogs for specific traits. The process involves selecting individuals with the desired trait, breeding them together, selecting the best offspring, and repeating over many generations. The advantages are clear. We get organisms that are highly productive or useful. The disadvantages include reduced genetic diversity, which can make populations vulnerable to new diseases. Genetic engineering is more direct. It involves taking a gene from one organism and inserting it into the genome of another. The classic example is insulin production. The human insulin gene is inserted into bacteria, which then produce human insulin for diabetic patients. Genetic engineering can also be used to make crops resistant to pests or herbicides. The benefits are significant, but there are ethical concerns, particularly around GM crops and the long-term ecological effects. Cloning is another form of asexual reproduction that produces genetically identical organisms. Techniques include tissue culture, growing new plants from small pieces of plant tissue, embryo transplants in animals, and adult cell cloning, also called somatic cell nuclear transfer. In adult cell cloning, the nucleus from an adult body cell is inserted into an enucleated egg cell, which is then stimulated to divide and implanted into a surrogate mother. Dolly the sheep was the most famous example. Right, let's talk exam strategy. The number one mistake I see is confusing mitosis and meiosis. Remember, meiosis makes gametes. Use the double M to remember it. Mitosis is for everything else. Growth, repair, asexual reproduction. Second big mistake, not using precise terminology. Examiners will not award marks for vague answers. You must use words like allele, genotype, phenotype, homozygous, heterozygous, dominant, recessive, diploid, haploid. If the question asks you to explain, you need to use because to link cause and effect. Don't just describe. Explain the mechanism. Third mistake, misreading Punnett square ratios. Always count all four boxes, even if some are the same. And remember, Punnett squares give you probabilities, not certainties. Each offspring has an independent chance. For 6 more questions on natural selection or genetic engineering, you need to structure your answer carefully. Cover the initial variation, the selection pressure, the differential survival, the reproduction and inheritance, and the change in allele frequency over generations. That's your 5-point framework for natural selection questions. When evaluating genetic engineering or selective breeding, always give both benefits and risks and make a concluding judgment. Examiner's award marks for balanced evaluation. Command word alert. If the question says evaluate, you must consider both sides and reach a conclusion. If it says describe, just say what happens. If it says explain, say why or how. These are different demands and you must respond accordingly. Okay, quick fire quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question one, what is the name given to the entire genetic material of an organism? The genome. Question two, how many daughter cells does meiosis produce? And are they haploid or diploid? 4 haploid cells. Question three, in a monohybrid cross between 2 heterozygous parents, what is the expected phenotypic ratio? 3 dominant to 1 recessive, 3 to 1. Question 4. What is the difference between genotype and phenotype? Genotype is the allele combination. Phenotype is the physical characteristic that shows. Question 5. Name one advantage and one disadvantage of sexual reproduction compared to asexual reproduction. Advantage produces genetic variation. Disadvantage requires finding a mate and is slower. Brilliant work making it to the end. Let's do a lightning summary. DNA is a double helix polymer made of nucleotides with complementary base pairing, A with T, C with G. The genome is all the genetic material. Genes have alleles, dominant and recessive. Meiosis produces 4 unique haploid gametes for sexual reproduction. Punnett squares predict genotype and phenotype ratios. Natural selection acts on variation to drive evolution over generations. Selective breeding and genetic engineering are human tools to modify organisms, each with benefits and ethical concerns. And cloning produces genetically identical organisms. You've got this. Go back over any sections that felt tricky, draw out those Punnett squares, and practice explaining natural selection in your own words. The exam rewards students who can explain clearly and use precise terminology, and you're well on your way to doing exactly that. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.